Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a question for you this morning. How did you decide what you were going to wear to church today? Now, if you're in my household, usually the night before, my wife and the kids will pick out what they're going to wear in the morning. The kids will lay out their garments so that they're ready to go in the morning. The girls each pick a dress for church. The boys get dress clothes, and Ben picks out a tie. And if you're me, well, you have it figured out pretty easily. You wear the same thing every single day anyway, and it usually comes in black. So I already know exactly what I'm going to wear. It's not that hard for me to figure it out. And then when I come to church, it's already predetermined what colors I'm going to wear because it's already set up on the altar. But as you were thinking about what you were going to wear to church today, did it cross your mind to dress in your very best? In generations that are passing away, we saw that those men wore their Sunday's best. They had a suit for Sunday, they had a tie, and the women had their best dresses ready to go for Sunday morning. We would dress up for church. What has changed? We have relaxed as a society. You can wear sweatpants pretty much anywhere. But at church, we still gather to worship. Do we still wear our Sunday's best, or do we throw on whatever we have? Let me ask you this. Our generations that have come before us, did they have more money than we do? Were they richer than us that they could afford to have that Sunday's best clothes all lined up? You know that's not the case. Even the farmer who had tattered jeans daily basis had that suit set aside that he would wear on Sunday morning. Now, before I've gone and offended all of you into leaving, if that isn't what you wore, I want to come back to this toward the end of the sermon. I want you to think about how you prepare to meet the Lord. Because the fact is, none of us know when exactly he's going to call us. How many of you here today have had a family member, a loved one, a friend who died before you were ready for them to die? Maybe it was complete tragedy, unexpected in every way. Maybe they were suffering from a cancer or a disease that took weeks, months, years. But even in those situations, none of us are really prepared for that day. It still comes to us like a thief in the night. And that's the truth. None of us know the day or the hour in which we will die. None of us know the day or the hour in which Jesus Christ will return. So how are you prepared for it? Think about these words from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Our Lord is found here each and every Sunday morning, in his physical presence, as well as spiritually. He comes to us each and every Sunday morning in his word, and as he attaches that word to bread and wine to give us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We receive that benefit each and every Sunday morning. Do we seek him? Or do we find other things to pass the time? Seek the Lord while he may be found, because this is where he's found. This is when he's found, every Wednesday as well. Seek the Lord in your scriptures. Find yourself in his house, receiving his gifts. There are so many of you who do that each and every week, and I thank you for that. For those who are new to this or have taken time away but are back, I thank God for you as well. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let us who are wicked in and of ourselves return to the Lord and receive the forgiveness of sins. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Those words are used either at funerals or in the days that lead up to them. Oftentimes, I will include those words in prayer with a family who are mourning their loved one. The fact is that we don't understand God's timing, but it's His timing. We must roll with it. We must plan for it. God is the one who ordered all of these things, and His thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. We are to submit ourselves wholly to Him, mind, body, and soul. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. When I look at our epistle lesson for today, redeeming the time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words reminded me of our opening hymn. The world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober and keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. The judge that comes in mercy. The judge that comes with might. To terminate the evil. To diadem the right. That judge is at the gates. We are to prepare every day for his return. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your days? If it's in drunkenness, then repent. To be drunk is to be sinful. To live that life is to be living a life of sin. The scriptures are very clear on this. Drinking alcohol in and of itself is not sinful. But to the point of excess, where we cannot control properly our thoughts, our words, and our actions, is to be living apart from what God has created us for. How do we redeem the time? The Holy Spirit calls the children of God to His church each and every week. Many of you hear that call each and every week, and I can find you sitting somewhere around where you're sitting right now each and every week. And I thank God for that. For others, and you can look around and see the empty pews around you. For others, that call is provided by the Holy Spirit, and they find other things to do. There are many good things to do in this world, but we must prioritize our lives and ourselves around the things of Jesus Christ, because the world is very evil. The devil, the world, your sinful flesh, they war against us. They don't want us to be here. They don't want us to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. They want us to do anything else than to be at church. And for far too many, they're giving in to the words of that devil, that world, and their own sinful flesh. It would be far easier for you to sit at home on Sunday morning in your beds, but you have chosen the right thing. You have chosen to listen to the will and the word of your God. Redeeming the days because the time is evil. And that judge is at the gate. None of us knowing when the day or the hour will come. Let us return to that wedding garment then. For how we should be prepared to dress for church. Jesus tells a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. They were not willing to come. This goes on each and every week throughout Christendom. were pews that should be full of people who claim to confess Jesus, and yet they don't listen to his word. The fact is that the King of Kings did send his son. The King of Kings has prepared a wedding feast for his son and his son's bride, the church. And that feast is what we have a foretaste of this very day. So when we come and we gather to that wedding feast, there are so many who have chosen not to hear that voice. I, as the pastor and our board of elders, make phone calls to those people. And sometimes we receive calls back. Most times we don't. Usually people aren't as rude as they are in our gospel lesson, where they actually beat up and kill the messengers. I'm thankful for that. But the fact is that all of us, it takes all of us, just like I see on the end zone of the NFL games, it takes all of us sharing that message of Jesus Christ. All of us encouraging our brothers and sisters, people that we love or people that we barely know, to come to church with us. That we might be filled with the songs of the church. That we might be filled with the songs and the spiritual songs and the psalms, these wonderful hymns that were written by our forefathers in the faith that clearly confess who Jesus is and what he has done for us. That is the way to redeem the time. They treat them spitefully, and they even go so far as to kill them because they don't want to be reminded that the judge is here, that the king actually desires their presence. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to be told that it's good to come to the wedding feast. And what does the king do in response to that? You heard the words. When the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. The fact is that our Lord will only take rejection until a certain time. And when that time has come, then his mercies, which are new every morning, will cease for those who reject him. Because when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, the entire of creation will be consumed in fire. The things that we take for granted right now, the trees, all of this earth will be consumed in that fire. But thanks be to God, his mercy will be forever reminded of, for on that day when he comes to judge the living and the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ will proclaim before all that you, as a child of God, get to be a part of him forever. We see that there is a man in our gospel lesson who does not have on the proper attire, and he gets bound hand and foot and thrown up where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you picked out what you were going to wear for church last night for today, if you woke up this morning with a smile on your face, found yourself on your knees praising the Lord that he has given you a new day, that on the Lord's day you got to come to church to sing the hymns, to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and be reminded that Jesus loves you, I thank God for you. If you woke up this morning and remembered, it's Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to shower, I'm going to put on my clothes, I'm going to go to church groggily, I'm thankful that you're here. If you rolled out of bed this morning and just had barely enough time to get dressed to come here, I'm thankful that you're here. The wedding garment isn't the clothes necessarily that we wear. As wonderful it is that we were to dress up to come to the Lord's house, where women would dress to the nines and wear a veil, where men would wear suit and tie with shoes shined and polished. But the wedding garment, the garment that's actually necessary, isn't that. That wedding garment is the garment of faith. A garment that we saw last Sunday placed on two small children within our midst. As we saw a white garment that covered them, that covered their sin, that covered their shame, that white garment has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has washed them, he has baptized them, he has brought them into his faith. That's the wedding garment. On the day that Jesus Christ returns, or the hour of our death, that is the garment that either gets us in or not. And thanks be to God, it's a garment that none of us have earned by our own works. It is a garment that we have received by the grace of Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. Make sure that when you wake up every single morning, you wake up and remind yourself of this garment that is yours. Remind yourself that you are a baptized child of God, putting on that whole armor of God. Find yourself filled with joy in the hymns of the church, so that when you share that message with others, they can see your joy, and they want to be exactly where you are. Thanks be to God for each and every one of you who have come here today, whether you've been a member here your whole life, or you're brand new to it, or you're just learning what it might be to be a Christian. Thanks be to God, because he has won the victory for us. The church sings. The bridegroom soon will call us, come to the wedding feast. May slumber not befall us, nor watchfulness decrease. May all our lamps be burning with oil enough and more, that we with him returning may find an open door. There God shall from all evil forever make us free, from sin and from the devil, from all adversity, from sickness, pain, and sadness, from troubles, cares, and fears, and grant us heavenly gladness, and wipe away our tears. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.